You're listening to the Live, Love, Engage podcast. On today's show, we're going to be talking about money and emotions and the biggest misconception people have about managing their money. Stay tuned. I am Gloria Grace Rand, founder of The Love Method and author of the number one Amazon bestseller, Live, Love, Engage, How to Stop Doubting Yourself and Start Being Yourself. In this podcast, we share practical advice from a spiritual perspective on how to live fully, love deeply, and engage authentically so you can create a life and business with more impact, influence, and income. Welcome to Live, Love, Engage. Namaste and welcome to Live, Love, Engage. I am Gloria Grace Rand, and today we're going to be talking about money and your relationship with money and how to have a good one. And joining me on the show today is Emily Scholl. And am I pronouncing that correctly, the last name? Okay.
Yes.
I wasn't sure because it could be Scholl or something. So I took a guess there. And she is a certified money coach and so founder of Me, Myself, and Money. So welcome, Emily.
Thanks so much, Gloria. Thanks for having me.
Yeah, I appreciate it. So let me tell you a little bit about Emily and why she is an expert in people's relationships with money and how you can have a better one. Emily helps people like you understand and transform your relationship with money so you can earn, manage, and enjoy your money without the anxiety. What a concept. She's got a master's degree in family financial planning. But the more she learned about the practical side of money, the more she realized something was missing, and that was the emotional side. And so now her sole focus of her coaching practice is not actually on your numbers, but on you and your relationship with money. And she helps individuals and couples to be able to see old patterns and behaviors and money blocks that are keeping them stuck, which is something that... Yes, my husband and I definitely discovered that we had some different ideas even about money, which I know you and I have talked about in the past when we were doing just getting to know each other. So tell me a little bit first before we kind of get into really about, well, and I guess partly it is what drew you actually to the financial area, and then let's just start there first. What kind of drew you to be able to get to become even a certified money coach?
Sure. Yeah. Well, it was kind of a meandering path. So I had always, for a long time, I had an interest in personal finance. Mm-hmm. When I was in my early 20s, I got into some debt, as many of us do, and I realized I needed to learn how to manage my money because that was just never taught to me. So I figured it out. I read book after book and it slowly made sense. And I've always enjoyed helping people. So I knew I wanted to get into a helping profession. Mm-hmm. And I thought financial planning might be one of them. So a long story short, I ended up eventually in a master's program for financial planning after having another career first. Mm-hmm. And as I went through that program, I thought I was going to become a financial advisor. Right. And this program, it was great because it had career transition people like myself, but it also had a lot of financial professionals, advisors and planners and life insurance agents and educators. And what I found during our discussions was that many of them thought every financial problem had a financial solution. Mm. And I saw things differently. Mm-hmm. And the concept of behavior, like a behavioral solution or an emotional solution, mm-hmm. was just not present in the conversations. And so I thought, you know, it feels like there's something missing to me here. I've just always had a feeling that money is emotional. Mm. And I followed that feeling and I wanted to learn more about that side of it. So I came across the Money Coaching Institute. I became trained as a certified money coach. Mm. And that means I'm able to help people understand their history with money and their pattern of behaviors so they can see what's stopping them from being truly comfortable with money and with themselves.
Mm, yeah. What have you found that is maybe some of those like stumbling blocks that people run into with money? especially as it relates to more of the emotional side of things.
Yeah, it all kind of really, it all boils down to a couple of really basic ones. It has usually to do with really very old wounds that we almost all of us have growing up. So feelings that we're not enough, that we don't have enough, or that we don't want to be a bother to people. Mm-hmm. I think it's really amazing when I work with people, we go through their money biographies. And so they start with their early money memories all the way to the present. And so many women in particular share an early money memory of asking for something and being scolded for it, like asking for a present, you know, being at a, having their birthday come up and they're excited and they suggest to a friend or their mother or an aunt, oh, can you buy me this for my birthday? And then being shamed about it. But no, we don't do that. If someone wants to give us a present, you know, they can do that, but we never ask. But then 20, 30 years later, you're working and that affects your ability to ask for a raise. It affects your ability to charge what you're worth and ask people to give you money or to raise your rates.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, absolutely. And some of the other things too, and I know you and I had talked about this a little bit, because I know, I think some of the things that affect us are even just the attitudes our parents have about money. Because like my mother grew up during the Depression, and so she was always really coming at things from a lack mentality, I guess is the best way to say it. And because she didn't have a lot growing up, and even though when I know, I think my brothers and sisters maybe had it a little bit harder, but I know when I grew up, she actually started working full time, but I guess it was also to be able to afford things, but we were able to afford things. And yet she was always like relying on her mother for money. And that I think affected me then too, because it was like, I think subconsciously I was expecting other people to rescue me for money as well. And that, being able to, you know, rely on myself totally for that.
Yes. And that is so common. That is so common, especially for women. We're often really disempowered when it comes to money and given this message, usually not overt, but it's embedded in everything our parents do. And what they don't tell us, it's embedded in all of that, that you don't really have to worry about money. Someone else is going to take care of this. Mm-hmm. And I see it so often, especially in women. And they get to their midlife and they think, oh my gosh, how could I have let myself not know about money at this point? And they feel like there's something wrong with them and like a failure. They're comparing themselves to other people who had a very different upbringing. And so my favorite thing that I'm able to do is to help clients understand that there's nothing fundamentally wrong with you. You are where you are for a reason. Mm-hmm. Let's understand why that is and get rid of the shame so that you're able to move forward.
Yeah, that's real important. So what does a healthy relationship with money look like?
Yeah, it's one free of much of the anxiety that most of us carry around with money. Mm-hmm. And it doesn't matter if you don't have a lot of money and you're anxious that, you know, you really struggle to pay the bills and to make ends meet and to get ahead, or you could have millions in the bank and you struggle because you don't feel like you can be really honest and open about yourself and your situation for fear of being judged. You feel guilty. You feel undeserving of the money. Mm. So people across the spectrum and in between, it's about being comfortable with ourselves, really standing in our own power. This work really begins with taking a look at ourselves and seeing where we're giving away power, where we're taking power away from other people. And it's a lifelong journey to be able to do this and to understand, just being more comfortable with our money and with ourselves. And it affects all of our relationships because money is tied to everything in life. It's tied to our core survival issues. You know, it brings up fight, flight, or freeze like nothing else because it's a core survival issue. If we don't have money, we can't have a safe place to live. We don't have enough to eat. So it's an important thing to understand and discover.
Yeah. And it is interesting that it doesn't matter how much money you have because you could still really have issues about it. And there've been stories about you, people who win the lotto and within just a few short years, they don't have the money anymore because they've gone through it because of their relationship with money, they didn't really understand or didn't have, for whatever reason, they were, you know, I don't even know, but I just know that it's a shame because they don't have that good relationship with money, having a healthy relationship with it. So what would be, how do you help people? I mean, like, what's, you know, sort of like the first step that someone has to take to be able to heal this, maybe even a better way would be to, you know, let go of some of this emotional baggage that they're carrying around with them.
Yeah, well, that's where we go. We go straight to the emotion. Mm-hmm. So when I work with people one-on-one, or even in the group work that I do with them, we really dive into our money history. So going through the money biography, and then I help them see what they can't see. And none of us can see all of our money patterns. Just like we can't physically see ourselves, we need a mirror to see our face and to see behind us. When we're looking at our money history and the patterns of behavior, we really need someone else to hold that mirror up so that we can see ourselves. And it has nothing to do with the number of degrees you have, how intelligent you are, or even your emotional intelligence. It's just a fact that we all have blind spots. Mm. So I help them see the origin, the emotional origin, especially of where their money blocks are coming from, because that's how we can free them. And to understand that, it's important to know how the brain works and how our patterns form. Mm-hmm. So most of the time we're taught that money is math, that money is logical. And so we blame ourselves when we're not able to have a good relationship with it. We're not able to make it work. But the thing is, all of our behaviors around money, most of them are automatic because they come from thoughts that have been with us since we were very, very young. And every time we have a negative experience in childhood, our subconscious brain records that. It records the emotion and what happened. And so whenever we feel unsafe again, it triggers that automatic behavior. So until we go back to that emotion and figure out, okay, what is the story that was recorded here? What is my brain trying to protect me from? Because our subconscious, it's like a naive parent. It tries really hard to protect you, but often it does so at your expense. Mm-hmm. It actually ends up hurting you in the long run. So we go back to that emotional experience. And then once you can see it and connect the dots, then often you're able to release it. Sometimes it takes more work, of course, to be able to release it. Mm-hmm. But just that knowing alone, that awareness gives you control. That's the first time that you have a choice to make. Okay, I understand where this is coming from now, and now I can decide to do something different.
Mm, yeah. Do you find that, I know you work with individuals and couples, but do you feel, I guess you probably already said this, but is it women that really do seem to be more challenged when it comes to this area? And are there unique particular patterns that maybe women have that men don't?
I think women definitely have the pattern of not having been empowered. So they feel so much shame about where they are with money now and not being able to manage it well and really overwhelmed and anxious. And even if they participate in the household finances, we have been trained like for centuries not to use our power. And there are good historic reasons for that. I mean, we're physically smaller than men. We need to cooperate in order to protect ourselves. Mm-hmm. So what ends up happening is we often have passive aggressive behaviors. So even if we are involved, we don't take total control, or at times we want to take more control than we need. And it just sets us up for an unhealthy relationship, not only with ourselves and money, but with our partner. I forgot your question.
I think that was it. Yeah, I was just wondering if there was something particularly unique about women, you know, versus men.
Yeah, so women, yes, a lot of issues around power and not being empowered. I wish I could talk more about men, but honestly, most women are attracted to me more than men. So most of the men that I've worked with are in my couples. Okay. But I would like to learn more about men because they have their own unique set of issues. But one thing that both men and women have in common is not being able to see where they're blocked. And even if we think we have an idea of our history, right. But that's different from connecting all the pieces together.
Yeah. Yeah, absolutely. I'm trying to think. Why? I knew what I wanted to talk to you about. Because this was an experience I went to a couple years ago. I attended an investment seminar. It was actually like a whole, I think they call it the money show, actually, here in Orlando. And so they have, like, you know, lots of different things doing, you know, different ways to invest. But they also had like one morning session that was geared specifically for women and women and investing. And I think, what has your experience with investing? Because I know I've been myself, I know in the past I was, you know, a little cautious about it. And especially because, again, my parents did not invest in the stock market because, again, they both grew up during the Depression. And I think they saw what happened to, you know, other people. And so they were not investors. And yet my husband is, you know, is interested in investing. And so I've been, you know, trying to learn more. And yet at the same time, it is, sometimes it's like, it does, it just like overwhelms me and I don't want to know about it. So what have you, do you deal with, you know, talking with women in particular about that part of, you know, investing, especially because women tend to outlive men. And so we need to be able to make sure that we've got enough money to, you know, live on.
Yeah, so women definitely tend, all the research says, women tend to lack confidence when it comes to investing, and they tend to rely on men. They just think that men intuitively know what to do, which is not true. The research shows that women actually have better performance in their portfolios than men do. Women are more cautious, but they trade less. And so that's where the difference comes in. Men have overconfidence often, and they lose money because of that. It's so frustrating, the number of such intelligent women I talk to that just don't have confidence and think, oh, I just need, you know, when I get married, my husband will take care of this, or, oh, I just need an advisor. And there's nothing wrong with having an advisor, but this is something that everyone can learn. So, there's just a mental block around it, but there doesn't need to be. It's something that everyone can learn.
Yeah. What, how would you recommend that someone get started? I mean, because I know I've heard, or well, and I've read different stories where, actually, I think it was a CD course I was taking once on prosperity consciousness, and he recommended just starting to like read the Wall Street Journal, and not even necessarily understanding it, but just at least read it so you start becoming familiar with things. So is that something that you would recommend that women would do?
I would recommend starting with a book probably written by a female author. That's where I started. And I say that just because men and women do tend to have different styles of writing. So find any book that resonates with you, any book about finance that resonates with you, and start there. And then just continue reading from there. That's what I did. And at first, it sounds foreign. But the more you read, you know, little bits drip and drab, and they get them there over time, and it starts to make sense. I would say starting with the Wall Street Journal, I wouldn't recommend that, because I think even having a master's degree in financial planning, I don't think I would enjoy that know everything about what I'm reading. So start with anything that resonates with you.
Yeah, I like that idea. I knew what I was going to ask you. Now, are there any... I don't know. Do you work with like entrepreneurs, and have you found any unique challenges that entrepreneurs have with money?
Entrepreneurs, a lot of this goes to the asking again. Like I find that a lot of them have challenges when it comes to marketing and sales. Mm-hmm. And that's where a lot of those limiting beliefs and money blocks come up, and those old patterns of, oh, it just feels icky to ask, or, you know, I don't want to be too big. I don't want to feel boastful. I don't want to bother people writing all of these social media posts or sending out too many emails. Mm-hmm. So those are very common with entrepreneurs. Being a business owner is such a great way to explore your relationship with anything. I mean, it's such a personal growth opportunity because you're faced with different situations all the time, and at different levels of your business, you're going to face different challenges. So it's a great opportunity to explore both your relationship with your money and yourself.
Are there any misconceptions that people have about money and in building a relationship with money, have you found? And what are they, if so?
Yeah, misconceptions. I think the first one is people think that it is more logical and math-based than it really is. So they just, there's just so much shame that gets in the way. We get stuck mm-hmm. in the cycle of shame. And because we feel like we should be at a certain place that we're not now. And we think, oh, there are books about this. There are blogs about this. Like, I've read about this before and I still can't get my act right. What's wrong with me? So I think the biggest misconception is that it's logical and not emotional. And so that it keeps us stuck. Whereas if we just went to the emotions first, we'd be able to untangle all of this and then move forward in the practical way.
Well, that makes sense. Definitely. Cause I, like I said, I knew that even in just in my instance, it's been, dealing with that and recognizing that, yeah, I've definitely had some issues where it has been related more to the emotional side of it. What else is, how else can people, is there something even that they can do now to be able to, I mean, is it a good idea, I guess, to try to figure out, trying to look at what the different beliefs that people have, or is it just better for them to just really just, start seeking some help and try to, rather than trying to figure this out on their own?
I'd say that depends on the level of distress that you're feeling around money. So if you know, oh, I probably have some money blocks, but you have enough money coming in, you can pay your bills, it's not challenging you on a day-to-day basis, then you can certainly start with yourself. And some good places to start could be sentence completions. Just sit down and think about money in different ways. So if I had $1 million, I would feel, and then just list 5 to 10 answers, thinking as quickly as you can, not censoring yourself. And you'll probably be surprised on some of those answers. Another good way to figure out what your money blocks might be, a fun way, mm-hmm. is to draw a picture. So I do this with my clients, and I even have a program that I run sometimes that we do this exclusively, drawing pictures. So draw a picture of your relationship with money, or draw a picture of how you earn money. And this is effective because when we think about pictures and draw pictures, it uses our subconscious brain, which thinks as a whole. So it really gets to those emotional undercurrents of it. And we can, after we draw the picture, we can like literally point to it and see the area that's getting us stuck. So I've done this often. And one example that I have, I drew a picture and in the corner was a television and it had economic news on it. So that was representing my anxiety and, everything is good, but that's in the corner and it's always on. So seeing that television on, I could think to myself, all right, how can I turn it off? Can I lower the volume? What does it take for me to do that? Do I need to meditate? So it's a very effective and fun way to get to money blocks. So that's for people who are, they don't have acute money issues right now. But if you do, if you are out of a job and you know that something is keeping you from looking or keeping you from getting the job, if something you really want to advance, but something is keeping you from asking for that raise or doing what you need to do to get it, if you're in that situation, or if you just feel overwhelmed with anxiety, with guilt, then yes, I would highly recommend seeking out some help, someone like me or someone similar, a financial therapist who can help, because we're trained to do this and you don't have to go it alone.
Yeah, that's an important lesson for people to know, because yeah, it's trying to do things on your own for a while, it can take a lot longer and be more painful, frankly, than if you just, you know, sucked it up and just asked for help. And because then you can get it, you know, it's like ripping off the Band-Aid faster, you know, then you can let it heal that much quicker if you're, you know, rather than just trying to keep burying it and covering it up, because that doesn't help you either. What else can you... I guess, what else have you found in your work? Or maybe, actually, let me come at it from a different way. What do you find most fulfilling about the work that you do?
I just love personal development and growth. Like, I'm just a junkie. And what I love about this is that this is an intersection of personal development and personal finance. So what I love most is helping people feel that connection to themselves and their history, and an understanding that brings relief, thinking that moment when they think, oh, this makes sense. And oh, there's nothing fundamentally wrong with me. Mm-hmm. Now I understand why I'm acting this way. Mm-hmm. It's a moment of understanding and then the self-forgiveness that comes right afterwards. Mm-hmm. And seeing them be able to shift their perspective of themselves and their future. It's so incredibly rewarding.
Yeah, I can't imagine that it would be, because I know even when I work with clients in different aspects, I know it is rewarding to be able to see people get that aha moment and when they can, you know, start taking different steps. So that's great that you're able to help people. You know, as we're recording this, it's... the middle of November, almost the end of the year. And it's been a challenging year, 2020, with all sorts of different things. Has there been anything in either you personally or in your practice that has been something unique that maybe has come about because of COVID?
I can't really say that COVID has changed my practice so much. Mm-hmm. What has changed for me this year is that I have, I've been marketing more and actually I came across a huge money block when it came time to do that earlier this year. Okay. Up until then I was relying on organic growth and I thought, you know what, I really need to get into marketing. And, that was such a wonderful experience for me, like marketing my services as a money coach and then being faced with my own money block that I had to go through was very humbling. But it made me realize that I had been limiting myself to one-on-one coaching, because I do believe that the most effective way to heal is to do one-on-one, because you have another person to really help you see. But that doesn't need to be, you know, the only thing that I offer. So I ended up creating a course this summer and helping people in a group, and it went phenomenal. So I'd say this year it's just been dealing with my own limiting beliefs and seeing what else is possible.
Well, that's good. It's always good. And I think because of that, now you're able to help people even more on a deeper level now, because you've been able to go through that. So it's probably been a blessing then. So if someone wants to be able to learn more about your, your programs and things like that, what's the best way for people to get a hold of you?
Yeah, I think the best way is my website, which is memyselfandmoney.com. Pretty easy and is spelled out. Mm-hmm. And yeah, you can find out more information about my services. And so I do one-on-one and couples. And then a couple times a year, I offer different group courses and programs as well. Mm-hmm. Well, and I have a money type quiz on my website. So if anyone is curious about their relationship with money, they can take that and see the different facets of themselves and how they interact with money.
Yeah, very good. I think I might have to check that out myself so I can see if I've improved over the years and developed a better relationship now. I think I have, but I know
it sounds like
always a work in progress, aren't we?
It's a lifelong work.
Yeah, definitely. Well, thank you so much for sharing some wonderful strategies and information about how we can develop a better relationship with money, because money is still what we need. It helps us to be able to, you know, buy the things we need, buy food, buy shelter, and we need to be able to manage it better. So I'm grateful to have you here and sharing that information with us today. So thank you so much, Emily.
You're welcome. Thanks so much for having me, Gloria. It was a pleasure.
Thank you. And I thank all of you who are listening and those of you who watch on YouTube. I appreciate you too. And in closing, as always, I encourage you to go out and live fully and love deeply and engage authentically.
Did you know that a majority of entrepreneurs tend to discount the importance of their work? And a good number feel their success is simply due to luck. I know from personal experience that self-doubt can keep you from having the kind of life and business you desire. That's why I've created a free guide called Uniquely You, How to Move from Self-Doubt to Self-Love in 4 Simple Steps. To claim your free guide, go to liveloveengage.gift. That's liveloveengage.gift.